Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
So the other day I picked up my phone and out of habit, I pulled up the news app. And in there I found an article from the Washington Post, and the headline read this: "Social distancing will likely last through the summer, the White House says," right? It wasn't that exact verbiage. In fact, I can't remember the exact verbiage, because the next day, I told my wife about it that night. I said, this article said that it's gonna last all summer long. Like, this whole thing that we're doing is gonna last all summer long. I don't know if I can handle it, right? And so the next morning I looked again and I couldn't remember what it said. And so I went to find it and the headline had changed. And the headline now read, "Social distancing could last months, says the White House," right? And so I was like, there's something fishy going on here. So I started to actually read the article, which is what you should do. But I don't know, I thought, you know, the headline says it all. So why even read the article? Which is a mistake I make commonly. So I went into the article and the article says this: "Some form of social distancing will probably remain in place through the summer, says the White House." And that's completely different. And I was thinking about that. And not that it matters, but the Washington Post is owned by Jeff Bezos, and Jeff Bezos owns Amazon. And I'm thinking, my conspiracy theorist brain kicks in, right? And I started thinking about it, and I started thinking, you know what? People are motivated by money. So a couple of years ago, I was at a conference called NAB, which is the National Association of Broadcasters, which we go to for video. We're kind of video nerds, me and my friends, and so we go check that stuff out. And I was able to take a marketing class at this conference, and the marketing class was about writing copy, and specifically it was about writing headlines. I didn't know that until I got into the class, and so I started listening to this gentleman talk about the importance of the headline. And he went on to say that the headline is more important than the article itself. In fact, it's so important that you should spend twice as much time on creating the headline than you do the actual content of the article. And I thought to myself, that doesn't seem right. What I learned was that marketers were more interested in getting that click, right? They're more interested in the clickbait side of things. And I thought, man, that's not cool. Like, I don't know what, you know, this is really about. And so, look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all, but at the end of the day, we know that the media is not super honest. Like, we know that we are lied to on a daily basis, and we've kind of become accustomed to it. We've become okay with that. And I was thinking about it, I was like, man, how is that okay? How is it okay that we are lied to? How is it okay that we know that the headline is not always the truth? Like, how are we okay with that? And I started thinking about truth and lies, and that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is I want to talk to you guys about the truth. How do you know the truth? How can you learn what's actually true? I think that the Bible has a lot to say about that, and I want to talk to you guys about that. But first, in order to think about what the truth is, we have to think about what it means to be lied to. Now, a question that I had was, what is the very first lie? I thought about it, and I thought it's probably in Genesis. It was probably during the fall. It was probably the devil lying to Eve, right? And sure enough, that's what it was. I looked it up. It's Genesis chapter 3, 1 through 5, and you can look this up yourself. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the other beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you should not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of any tree of the fruit of the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" And here comes the lie. Here it is. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And there you have it, the first lie. And so you guys know the story. What happened is Adam and Eve both ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. They listened to the lie. And when they listened to the lie, all of a sudden they did have knowledge. But what knowledge did they have? They had knowledge of their own nakedness. They had knowledge of their own inadequacy, right? Like, they understood who they weren't because of the lie. Now, understanding that the devil is the father of lies is what Jesus said, is the first step to understanding that a lot of the world, and I'm not saying everybody does this, okay, because there is a lot of truth in the media, there is a lot of truth coming from the mouth of your next door neighbor, there is some truth on Facebook and social media, some, right? But to understand that the devil is the true conspirator who is actually forming these lies behind the scenes is to understand a lot about life. Like, to understand that all he wants to do is confuse you. All he wants to do is make you feel bad about yourself. All the devil wants to do is make you feel inadequate. All the devil wants to do is make you feel less than. Whereas God wants you to understand that it's important for you to be with him. There's a big difference, right? Like, God, he wants us to understand that in him, that we're good, that we're okay, and that there's truth. In the book of John, we have John wrote a lot about the truth. John was basically Jesus' best friend. Like, a lot of people think that Peter was Jesus' best friend, but really, John was Jesus' best friend. John writes about himself in the book of John that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He's the one who is seen next to Jesus in paintings. He's the one who Jesus has his arm around. You know, he's the one that was the closest to Jesus physically. And so John understood a lot about Jesus. And it's funny, growing up with my friends, one of the things that we always valued was honesty and being real and telling each other the truth. And I think that John had that relationship with Jesus. And so when he writes about Jesus and writes about the truth, like, we understand who Jesus is through the lens of somebody who's his best friend. And John wrote this in John chapter 8, 31, 32. He said, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth.'" And get this, he says, "And the truth will set you free." If you abide in the word of God, if you abide in the words of Jesus Christ, that you'll know the truth, and that truth will completely set you free. Versus what lies do, they bind you. Lies, they keep you captive. They keep you stuck. I like to mountain bike, and sometimes when you're riding a mountain bike down a steep hill, there will be ruts in the trail that have been there because of the weather. You know, water has come down during a rainstorm, and these ruts can be deep. They can be inches deep. They can be 6 inches deep. And when you're riding a mountain bike, sometimes you just accidentally get stuck in those ruts. And when you get stuck in that rut, you end up going where that rut wants you to go. And I think that sometimes in life, we get stuck in ruts. I think that it's just easy. I don't know, like, it's when we just wake up and go to work and do our thing, we don't mean to, but we start listening to each other talk, right? We start getting on our news feed. We start sharing the stories that we're hearing on Facebook. We start sharing all these negative things. And all of a sudden, what happens is your mind starts thinking a certain way, and you just get stuck in a rut to where you all of a sudden are confused and frustrated, right? And it's no matter that, I mean, it makes perfect sense that you'd be stuck in a rut because you're thinking that way, right? But Jesus said that if you know the truth, it'll set you free. In John chapter 14, John writes, that Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus actually said that he was the truth. That if you were with him, right, that the truth was in you. If you're with him, that you understood things. And that's probably hard to understand, but we're going to keep talking about that. In John chapter 18, there was a conversation. And this is the scripture that made me think of this whole message. But there's a conversation between Pilate and Jesus. And what's happening is the Jewish leaders of the time, they were threatened by Jesus, right? And so they had brought Jesus before the Roman rulers, because they were the ones that were in charge, and they were asking these Roman rulers to crucify Jesus, because they knew that was their law, that they could, that was like part of their protocol, that they could just crucify somebody, right? But in the end, like, they, you know, they needed somebody to do their bidding for them, and so they brought them to Pilate. And in John 18, 33 through 38, it says this. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? So Pilate's like trying to get to the point. Like, what have you done, Jesus? Like, why are you here? Why am I here? They're having a conversation. And Jesus answered, and he says this to Pilate. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, and he said, you say that I am a king. But then Jesus says this, and this is the kicker. He says, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Now, I don't know if you guys saw the Mel Gibson movie, Passion of the Christ, but in that movie, it portrays this conversation as kind of a philosophical type conversation, right? And it's almost as if Pilate is having a philosophical conversation with Jesus, and he's saying, what is truth? And if you look this up on commentaries, and different, you know, pastors have taught this, I've even taught it this way, it teaches that it was kind of a philosophical question, you know? What is truth anyway? What is the nature of truth? And I'm not saying that that's not the case, but this week I really started thinking about that question. It was burning in my mind, because I watched this documentary, right? And I probably shouldn't have watched this documentary, but it was all about how the media lies to us. And it was really interesting. They uncovered a lot of, you know, things that should seem obvious, the things that I'm talking about, like with the Washington Post and, you know, it being owned by the same person as Amazon. Like, it should have been obvious to me, but as I watched this, I thought, man, like, this is crazy. So after that movie, I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, started researching some stuff, and I started catching myself getting caught up in like a conspiracy theory mindset. And look, there's a place for that. And I know that some of you guys are into it, and I love having those conversations. Honestly, they're super entertaining. I love just talking about stuff. It's fun. It's fun to say, what if this, what if that? But the question that kept burning in my mind after I watched that documentary a couple weeks ago was this question of Pilate asking Jesus, what is truth? And so I went and I researched it, and I learned a few things. First, I learned that Pilate, his first language, what he would have spoken to his friends would have been Latin, right? Like, he would have spoken that, but he also would have spoken Greek. That would have been kind of a second language to Pilate. And Jesus would have spoken Aramaic, but Jesus would have also spoken Greek. So if Pilate and Jesus were to have a conversation, they more than likely spoke in Greek, right? And that may not seem significant, but I started thinking about it, and I was thinking, you know what? It's very significant, because the fact that they were having this conversation in Greek would have meant that Jesus, when he used the word truth, that he used the Greek word for truth, which is aletheia. That's the Greek word for truth. But Pilate would have known the word truth as the Latin term, which is veritas. And so as I just researched online, looked up the lexicon, found a Latin dictionary online, which, again, I'm not like a linguistics professor or anything like that, but I did what I could online. And I learned that there's a difference in the meaning of veritas and aletheia. Aletheia and veritas were both goddesses of truth, but they also had specific meanings. Veritas, the goddess Veritas, was known to be elusive, difficult to find. The legend of the goddess of Veritas is that she hid herself in a deep well and she couldn't be found. And I thought, that's interesting. And I started looking into it more, and I learned that Veritas was a virtue. It was a Roman virtue. It was like when you talk to somebody and they swear that they know the truth, right? Like, they know what's true. They know what's right, right? Have you ever talked to somebody like that before on Facebook, or maybe a friend? They just know. They're holding their ground. Veritas is like a truth that can be possessed, something that can be held on to. And I started thinking more about Veritas, and I started thinking, you know what? Kingdoms were built around this. If I know something that you don't know, then I have power over you, right? If I know something that you don't know, then guess what? You have to pay me to get that information. You have to earn that information. You have to go to the right schools. You have to go to the right places to get that information, right? Veritas, in some ways, could be used as a weapon, right? It's dangerous. But aletheia, on the other hand, is different. Aletheia, the Greek word for truth, means an uncovering. It's completely different. It's like if you find something and you don't know what it is, but you see it and you hold it and you come up and you just show somebody, hey, look at this thing, and they're able to see it. You're all looking at the exact same thing. You're looking at the truth. It's an uncovering. It's like if I had a pot of food and I uncovered it and you looked in and saw the food, you could see the food, you could taste the food, you could experience it yourself. Aletheia is the truth as reality. Aletheia is like an introduction to what is real. And you can choose to do with it whatever you will. I think of, and I don't know if this fits or not, but I think of Thomas and him saying, hey, I don't really believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus showing him the marks on his hands. Aletheia is that kind of truth, the show me kind of truth. It's free. It doesn't have to be earned. It doesn't have to be paid for. And I started thinking, when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? He was probably asking him, what is aletheia? And maybe he hadn't heard of aletheia, right? And then so I kept reading in the book of John, and there's a point in the story where Pilate finds out that the people think that he's the Son of God. That Jesus said he's the Son of God, right? And in that, he gets scared. He gets nervous. He becomes fearful. And I started thinking, like he's starting to understand that Jesus is different. He's starting to understand that Jesus really isn't of this world. That Jesus isn't playing the same game as everybody else. That Jesus is doing something completely different. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, man, this changes the whole game, right? I'm getting a little out of breath here because we're going uphill. And it reminds me of a goal that I have. I really want to climb a mountain I really want to, there's a certain trail that I really want to do, and up in like Mount Whitney area, and I've been wanting to do it for a long time, but I'm like, man, it's a lot of work. I'm going to have to train, you know, I'm going to have to do a lot. And so what I do instead of training, instead of actually getting on the treadmill or hiking, do more of this is what I should be doing. I Google pictures of it. I Google pictures of this hike. And it's so beautiful, and I get inspired, and I've actually taken these pictures and I put them on my desktop, and I see them all the time. And what's interesting about this mountain is when I Google the pictures, there's so many different pictures. I mean, it looks so different from different points of view. That's the way it is with a mountain, right? Depending on where you're looking at it from, it looks completely different. If you're far away, it looks majestic and huge, and you know, in a certain light, it'll look purple, beautiful, you know, maybe snow-capped. But then if you get closer, it becomes even bigger, to the point where if you get too close, it's like so big that you cannot see the entire thing. But then there's a difference between seeing it from far away and getting closer, right? When you get really close to the mountain, it's different. You start to experience it. You start to appreciate it. It's all about perspective. I did a teaching a long time ago where I said that perspective is everything, right? The angle at which you see it is everything. And so I was thinking about that from the point of view of the journalist. If I was a writer for a newspaper and I went to my editor and I pitched a story to my editor and I said, hey, I want to tell this story. If I did that, right? They would ask me a question. They would say, what's the angle? And I looked that up. I looked up, what is the angle, right? And on ThoughtCo, okay, it says that the angle for a journalist, for a writer, is the lens through which the writer filters the information. As much as I hate to say it, it's true. We live in the information age. I've got my phone, right? This is my connection to the world. I have so much information in here. I have all the world's information, but the thing is, it's filtered. It's filtered through somebody's lens. It's filtered by someone's angle. It's given to me from their perspective. It's designed in a way to where they're writing an article or they're giving me information based on what they want me to see, right? And that's okay sometimes, you know, but it can become dangerous. So I guess my whole point in this message is, as Christians, I really, really want all of us to focus on setting aside the newsfeed for a second, setting aside the filtered information. And the thought that keeps coming into my mind, and I was listening to this song on the way up here, was, let's focus on only Jesus. Because he, according to himself, he was the truth. He was the way. He was the life. And to correct myself, what I should be saying is, he is the truth. He is the way. And he is the life. And when you're with him, wherever you are in the world, if you're with him, you are at the right angle to see the information the right way, to see the truth.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org.
clear as I can.